to say something?
Sir?
Did you want to say something?
Oh, yeah. Like I told you this morning, we were going down the road and throw like this. Like I tell you, I let you spend.
You want me to share?
Yeah, I let you share. Because, you know, I got shot in my neck. That's why I talk. I got past stroke. All right. Shot. Sometimes I talk so fast, so you probably... Deep, I understand you better like you understand saying me.
Okay.
But you understand what I say, but I get nervous. I start stammering because I got nervous. Go ahead and spend.
I'll do it. This Christmas season, several people came to us and expressed a desire to help our friend. And on Christmas Day, we were able to take several boxes of things down to his house. And he just wants all of you to know how much he appreciates your thoughtfulness, your care, and your love for him. He appreciates it so much, and he's very grateful for your gifts for him this Christmas season. Okay? Thank you so much.
Some people know me, y'all know me real good. Y'all need some help on a road truck to the end of our main town. Y'all need some road on a road truck or something, you let me know. Don't be shy now, okay? You got to get loaded somewhere like that. You want to do something like this for free, anything. Both way, country, move, friendly, if they come out, I'll try you now. I just give them a soda and, you know, pack the bread, but then you won't get it. All right, this is how I want y'all to know.
All right. We've got an offer on free labor for anything that we need help with. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate it. Let's open our Bibles together this morning to the book of Proverbs and the fourth chapter. Proverbs chapter 4. And Jim said he didn't think it was a good idea to make New Year's resolutions. And so my message this morning is a New Year's resolution for you. For 2018. It is very, very, very true that typically when we make New Year's resolutions, we often don't seek the Lord in those things. We just decide whatever we want for the new year, and we try to fulfill it, and we try to make it happen, and we don't have the ability to do all of that, and we certainly don't have the ability to change our own lives and all of those kinds of things. And we often make decisions, and after about a week or so, or a day or so into the new year, we've already broken that resolution, and we've gone back to the way things usually are in our life. But the New Year's resolution that I have for you is in line with the one that he declared to you, and that is really making Christ the Lord of your life and being sold out to Jesus in the new year. I'm going to put it in these terms as I share with you today. Our New Year's resolution is this: we're going to make the Word of God the priority for our life. Okay? We're going to make a decision that we're going to let God and His Word direct the course of our lives, set the path for our lives, rather than as we already said, as we typically do, deciding what we want and then coming to God and asking God to bless it. We're going to come to God first. We're going to find out what He wants. We're going to read and study the Word. We're going to find out what God wants. Because look, guys, when we find what God wants for us and seek to walk in it, we're already walking in the blessing of the Lord. It'll be blessed because it's what He's called us to do. The passage that I want to start with, and I've got several passages that I want to share with you today that will say very much the same thing in different ways. But the passage I want to start with today is in Proverbs chapter 4, and I'll read verses 20, 21, and 22. And while you're turning, let me just go ahead and pray real quickly. Father, thank you for this time together, for this time in the Scriptures today and in the Word of the Lord, because we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And we believe that it is the path for a successful and abundant and overcoming life. And so, Father, as we look at the Word today, we pray, Father, that we can receive the challenge that you give to us through the pages of Scripture to be committed to the things of the Lord, to the ways of God, so that your will can be done, so that this year can be the most successful, most prosperous year that we've ever known, because we're doing your will for your glory and as your witness. We thank you for it. We thank you for the grace to make it happen through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, the book of Proverbs is, we believe, written by King Solomon. Solomon was the son of David. He followed David on the throne in Israel. And Solomon is known for his wisdom. In fact, the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, all of these, Song of Songs, your Bible may say, all of these books are believed to be written by Solomon, a man of great wisdom in his day and in his time. But here's the thing I want us to do today as we read the Bible. And let me just say this to you. As we talk about reading the Bible and studying Scripture today and making the Word of God our priority, whenever we read the Bible, we should read the Bible with this perspective. Not that it is a book of ancient history, but rather it is, as the Scriptures themselves say, a living Word. And not a word written by ancient people to other old ancient people, but rather the word that God is speaking to us today. I say that to say this. Solomon is clearly writing to his children to impart his wisdom to them as they grow. But here's what you and I are going to see today. We're going to look at the Bible as God's word to us. Not Solomon's word to his children, but God's word to his children, you and me. We're going to take this personally. Can we do that today? Let's take the Bible personally. Let's take the Word of God personally. And let's see what God says to us. He says in verse 20, he says, my son or my daughter will fit there. My children, this is God speaking to you and me. And look at what he says. My son, give attention to my words. In other words, pay close attention. Look closely at the things I'm going to tell you. Give attention to them. Make them a priority in your life. Incline your ear to my sayings. Another way of saying the same thing. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep the Word of God in front of you all the time, he says. How many of you know the minute you turn away from the Bible, you're looking at something else, and that something else becomes to you another source of information. And the world is always ready to give you another source of information and another perspective on life and something that will contradict the ways and the will of God. That's why we need to constantly be, do you understand that's what church is all about? We're out there in the world, you are, I'm not, you're out there in the world 6 days a week and you're have to dealing with the mess and the minutia and all the stuff and all the junk and all the problems. And then you come to Sunday and you get to come back to church and to refocus your life, your heart, your mind, your sight on God. You've been having to deal with all that other junk, but now you get to, hey, just put it aside, man. Just lay it down. Let's focus on the Lord. I think we said it this way a couple of weeks ago. We hit that reset button. We're going to hit that reset. We're going to start again, okay? And so we're going to forget about everything else. We're going to focus on God, and we're going to make Him the priority of our life. And in Him, we're going to find the strength that we need to deal with the junk in the coming week and in the coming year. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. He says, do not let the word depart from your sight. Keep it ever before you. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Look at what he says in verse 22. For they, the words of God, are life to those who find them and health to all their body. He says, the word of the Lord brings life to everything about your life. I want to share with you today that the word of the Lord, listen, there are some marriages today that are on the brink of death. And the word of the Lord can bring life to those marriages. Some people are in a financial straits today and financial despair and distress. And I want to tell you today, the word of God can breathe life into your finances today. Many of us are dealing with issues emotionally and we deal with anxiety and we deal with stress and sometimes even fear and worry weigh so heavily on our heart. And I want to tell you today that the Word of God can deliver us from that. And the Word of the Lord can bring peace to our hearts and minds, even in the midst of the worst of circumstances. If we will prioritize our lives and make the Word of God the priority and put it first place in our life, God can change every circumstance in our life. 2018 really can be the very best life that we have, the best year that we have ever known. If we will learn to order our life according to God's word and not just our way. Okay? Doing things God's way, which requires us to get into His word to find out what His ways are. And I'll share some specific things with you in just a few moments. But right now, I'm just speaking generally about making the Word of God the priority of your life so that we can go from, I love the song, I believe Casting Crowns does, the song called Thrive. We were made to thrive. It's not about surviving. A lot of us are running on survival mode today. We feel like we're just getting by. We feel like life is just about to take us under. And we're hanging on by our fingernails to keep from going under and keep from drowning in life. And listen, brother and sister, I'm telling you today, God does not want you living that way. God does not want us just barely surviving and holding on to eke out another day. God wants us to go from surviving to really thriving and being victorious and being overcomers in every area of our life. And the neat thing is that God tells us in His Word how to do all of that. See, the good news is we can do it. The other good news is we can know how to do it. It's all given to us in the person of the Lord Jesus, in the Scriptures that instruct us and teach us the ways of God. The ways of victory are set in front of us, and God just says, read it and get into it. The Bible, brother and sister, is a treasure map for you and me. And the promises are treasures that we can dig up and then believe and trust God for and see God do amazing things in our life. But we've got to know what those promises are. We've got to know what we can expect. We've got to know where our hope is. And all of that has to be focused on God. And the way that we find the details of all of that is by looking at the Scriptures and studying the Word of God together. The Bible has the answers. It's a cliche. I understand that. It also happens to be fact that the Bible has the answers for everything in your life, whether it's a spiritual problem, an emotional problem, even physical problem, financial problems, marital problems, weight problems. You know, the Bible will teach you how to live right. And am I getting too pushy, too close here to you? The Bible will teach us how to order everything about our lives to live a long and victorious and prosperous life for the glory of God as a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. God tells us to put our house in order, and victory will be ours. Look over at Psalm 1. Here's another passage. It says very similar things. We'll build on it just a little bit. Psalm 1, and we'll read the first three verses. These are familiar to you. The psalmist writes and he says, how blessed, that word can mean how favored. How favored or blessed is the man, now watch this, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Notice that. Who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. That is to say, the ways of the world. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of God. That's the word of the Lord, okay? His delight is in the law of God, and in that law, in the word, he meditates day and night. The person who does these things, watch this, verse 2, the person who makes the word of God the priority of his life and orders his life according to what God says, verse 3, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Always nurtured, always nourished, always fed, which yields its fruit in its season, always fruitful, always productive, always seeing things grow and seeing things come to pass. The end of that verse, or the next part, its leaf does not wither. That speaks of eternal life, of eternal prosperity, of eternal blessing. And in whatever he does, he prospers. And again, we're talking about discovering the way and the will of God so that we're doing God's will, God's way. We're not talking about doing our will here, brother and sister. We're not going to God and asking with our wish list and asking God to give us a bunch of junk and expecting God to do it. No, we're talking about going to God and finding out what He wants for our life and then doing things God's way and watch God prosper
the work of our hands when we surrender our lives to the Lord. Notice again, it says in verse 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. There's a verse in Psalm 119 where the psalmist says over there, your words are my many men of counsel. Hear that. The psalmist said, your word is my counselor. We need to take our counsel from the Word of God and not from the world. Because the world's way of doing things, brother and sister, the world's way of doing things is usually we do things, we do that which is expedient to meet the need of the moment without giving any long-term thought to the consequences of the choices that we're making. The perfect example of that is King David in the Bible. We've shared this a lot of times with you, but it just illustrates so clearly what I'm saying here. David was the king of Israel, and one day when the armies had gone out into battle, David decided not to go with the army. And the Bible says that in the evening, as he walked around the roof of his house, he saw a beautiful woman bathing nearby. Lust grew in David's heart, and he had to have that woman, and he called for that woman and had that woman brought to him. They committed adultery. She became pregnant as a result of their adulterous relationship. Now watch what David does from this point on. Here's the way the world reacts to situations like that. Watch this. Rather than confessing his sins, admitting he had done wrong, and getting forgiveness for it, in which case probably could have just gone on with life in a much better way, instead, David tries to cover up his mistake. This is what we do in the world. This is the kind of choice we make in the world. We make a mistake. Instead of owning up to it and confessing it, we try to cover it up and hide it so nobody knows. Remember what David did? David, listen, the husband of Bathsheba is one of David's best friends. One of David's mighty warriors. He's out in battle fighting for David at that very time. And David calls him back in from the battlefront, gives him a little R&R. His hope is that he'll go into his wife, and it will appear that the child that she's having is actually her husband's child. But Uriah, her husband, won't go into her because he's a man of integrity. And he thinks to himself, why should I have the privilege of being here in my house with my wife when my brothers are out in the field fighting for our lives? I'll not do such a thing. And so he wouldn't go in to his wife. And so David has another chance to do the right thing. Guess what? He still doesn't do it. Oh, by the way, this is the man that the Bible says is a man after the heart of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that blesses me. Kind of weird way, I guess. But it blesses me to know that you don't have to be perfect to still be a man after God's heart. So David has another chance to make things right. Instead, you know what he does? He sends Uriah back out into the battlefield with secret orders that he gives to his commander. And here's the orders that David gave to Uriah's commander. David said, press into the battle. Go into the war. And when the battle gets hot and Uriah's on the front line, draw back from him. And leave him there alone. Now, just so you understand Uriah's integrity. Uriah is the man who takes these orders to the battle lines and gives them to his commander. Obviously, he doesn't read them. They're not his to read. What integrity does this man have? So in the heat of battle, they do exactly as they've been commanded to do. They draw back and Uriah is killed. This now, in David's mind, gives David the opportunity to marry Bathsheba so that, once again, it makes it look like the child she's carrying is legitimate. And it's all just one big lie. I want you to see the path that David goes down, because this is the way that we operate in the world. This is the wisdom of the world. When we do something wrong, instead of admitting it, owning it, confessing it, and moving on, we cover it up so that nobody thinks we've done this terrible thing.
The only problem is, usually once we've covered up one lie, now we've got two lies we're going to have to cover up. And once we've covered up three, we've got four more we've got to cover up. And just like with David, instead of dealing with the situation and getting beyond it, the problems just keep getting bigger. Human nature deals with these things this way. We do what's expedient. We do what we think looks right at the very moment to get us through that moment without considering the long-term consequences of the choices that we're making. And this is what David does. Human beings, we choose selfishly. We do selfish things. And we're willing to cut corners, and we're willing to compromise, and we're willing to sacrifice our ethics, sometimes our morals, to do what we want and have what we want. And we often think that in doing these things, we're covering up problems and we're making things better, when the truth is, the reality is, we're just creating more problems down the road. The Bible says that God is not mocked, but that whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And if we sow to the flesh, if we do things for selfish reasons, we're going to reap destruction. It's only when we do the things that God wants us to do, sow to the Spirit, this is the way the Bible says it. We do what God wants us to do, then we're going to reap life. But we're going to reap what we sow. And there's a spiritual law of life that we've got to learn. We've said it this way before. Look, we make our choices, and then our choices make us. If you stop and think about it for just a moment, right now, in this very moment, Just broad brush, generally speaking, I realize that lots of exceptions. Broad brush, generally speaking, each one of us sitting here today, our life is the sum total of all the choices we made up till now. And guys, look, if we want our lives to get better, and I believe we all do, if we want to improve on our life, and I'm sure most of us are in that position, we've got to make different choices if we're going to see change in our life. Because the very definition of insanity is to keep making the same choices the same way, expecting a different outcome. It's not going to happen. If we keep making the same choices, if we keep doing things the same way, we're going to keep getting the same result, because that's just the way life works. And it's why we need to get into the Word of God, and we need to let the Word of God teach us what's right and what's wrong, and we need to let the Word of God teach us God's perspective on everything about life. Listen, God's Word has the answer for every problem in our life. God's Word has the answer for our marriage problems today. If your marriage needs help, and I promise you all of them do. That didn't offend you, did it? See, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. You know why? Because a marriage is made up of two imperfect people. And two imperfect people don't make a perfect marriage. And our marriages always need work, and they always need tweaking. And the way to get them right is to find out what God says about marriage. And to do it God's way. Listen, if we choose to keep being mean and hateful to the people that we share a house with, if we choose to withdraw from each other and give each other the cold shoulder, and we choose all these wrong, listen, we are choosing bad marriage. We're choosing it. Why is it that we think, well, they did this and it hurt me, so now I'm going to do something to hurt them back, and maybe they'll learn a lesson? That's insanity. When they hurt you, what did you do? You responded negatively. Guess how they're going to respond when you hurt them? They're going to respond negatively. And then if you do it again, the cycle just goes on and on and on. And I want to tell you, marriages end today. Listen, marriages end. Big problems result from a multitude of little things that you did wrong along the way. Solomon tells us it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the accumulation of a lot of little things that cause what looks like a great big thing
It's because we make wrong choices. We need to get into the Word of God. We need to see what the Bible says about how do you deal in relationships? How do you act as a wife according to the Scriptures? How do you act as a husband according to the Scriptures? And let me just give you the Reader's Digest version. You love each other. You serve each other. You sacrifice for each other. That's marriage. We need to stop, listen, we need to stop looking to our spouse as our source of happiness and contentment and blessing in life. Instead, we need to look at ourselves and realize that we are supposed to be a source of happiness and blessing to their lives. Instead of looking at our marriage for what we can get out of it, we should be looking for what we can put into it. Because I promise you, if two people will make the quality decision to love each other no matter what, it doesn't matter where your marriage is, God can heal it. God can fix it. If both parties will do the right thing, and I understand it takes both. But listen, even if it's just one, if you'll do what God tells you to do, even if your spouse never does do the right thing, God will find a place of peace for you. And God will bring restoration and healing to your soul. What about emotional issues? Worry, fear, all of these kinds of things. Well, are we doing what the Bible says to do to have victory and peace? Find out what the Scriptures teach us. Get into the Word of the Lord. Let God show us. He's got the answers. What about financial things? We get into big financial problems the same way we get into those big marital problems. Big financial problems are the result of a multitude of many wrong decisions along the way. See? And then all of a sudden, we've made a mountain out of things because of all these little decisions we made along the way. We get that paycheck, okay? We get that paycheck, $500. I got $500. Now, all of us, most of us anyway, out of that paycheck, we've got to take something. Some of us got to go towards some rent or mortgage, maybe a car payment, lots of insurance. These days is going to come out of that paycheck. You've got to buy clothes. You've got to pay utilities. You've got to have all of these things. And so there's a portion of that paycheck has got to go toward all of these things. But here's what we do. We get that paycheck, $500. We look in the store window at the newest bright shining object and it says $500. And I think, $500, $500. And we go buy that new bright shiny thing. What are you going to do when the rent comes due? What are you going to do when the power comes? Well, I'll just take out a next week's check. The only problem with the thinking is, next week's check, you're probably going to do the same thing you did with this week's check. You didn't use any discipline. You saw some bright, shiny thing, and you saw you had the right amount, and you went and bought it, and now you don't have money for anything else. You got bright, shiny things.
Yes, sir.
But you can't pay the rent. You can't pay the utilities. They're going to cut the power off and the water off and all these kind of things. See, we make little wrong choices along the way that accumulate and become the big problems we have to deal with in life. And look, the Bible has the answers for all of these things. Are you being a good steward of what God has given you? Are you being faithful to tithe the way the Bible says we should? If we want the blessing of the Lord, all we've got to do, God says, I'll tell you how to get there. Just read the book and do what it says. Be a doer of the word. James tells us in James chapter 1, the doer of the word will be blessed. See, it's one thing to come to church on Sunday morning and hear the word of God, and that's great. But what are you going to do when you get outside the church building? You're going to forget what you heard, or you're going to be a doer of the word? And that's why the psalmist tells us that we're to meditate the word day and night. Keep it in front of us. Keep our mind set on it. To meditate means to dwell on it, to think about it, to roll it over in your mind. Now let the Word of God speak to your heart. And let God show you what He has for your life. And then order your life according to the Word of God. Let God bring victory to your life. Can I just share it? Let me say it from this perspective. I believe firmly in prayer, okay? I believe prayer works when we pray God's way, when we pray in God's will. But here's the thing, brother and sister. You are not going to gain through prayer what you lose through disobedience to the word, except and unless that prayer is a prayer of repentance. Here's what we do. We take that money, we buy those bright, shiny objects, and then we pray, oh God, I need money. God said, I gave you money. What'd you do with it? Well, I bought bright, shiny objects with it. No, that's not what God wanted you to do with that money, you see. We have to order our lives according to the word of the Lord. We do what God says he wants us to do with the money. And then God will bless. God will provide. And God will do awesome things. Look at Joshua over in the Old Testament. Real quickly, way over into the beginning of the Old Testament. Joshua, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. And Joshua chapter 1. And by the way, don't misunderstand what I just said there about those bright, shiny objects. God's not opposed to you having bright, shiny objects. God just wants you to be a good steward of what you got. If you've got enough to pay the bills and do all the things and buy the bright, shiny objects, praise God for that, okay? I'm just saying, we need to get our life in order. And the things that we need. See, one of the problems that we have, one of the biggest problems that people have in this life today where money is concerned, is they can't distinguish between what they need and what they want. See? And we want all the time. We want. And we get ourselves in trouble because of it. All right, enough of the bright, shiny objects. Look over at Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, what's happening here, while I try to find it, in Joshua chapter 1, what's happening here is that the children of Israel have come to the border of the promised land. Moses has passed away. God's not going to let Moses take the children in. Moses passes away. God calls Joshua and he says, you're going to be my leader to take the children of Israel into the promised land. So watch the instructions that God gives to Joshua. This is the will of God for him to lead Israel. And God says, here's how to be a success at what I've called you to do. Here's how you're going to prosper when you do my thing. He says in verse 2, just start there, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan. There's just an awesome message in that verse of scripture about leaving things behind. Jim talked about it a little bit. Leaving the past behind. Look, guys, when things are over, they're over. Christmas is over, dude. Get over it. It's 2018. Seriously. So often we get bound to the things of the past. Good things, bad things, circumstances, whatever. But listen, when we try to live in the past, the enemy will get us to try to live in the past so that he can rob us of our future. See? You can't move forward until you let go. We have to let go of the past in order to move to the future. All right. And so this is what Joshua is telling him. And this is Moses he's got to let go of, man. Are you kidding me? He's got to let go of Moses so that he can have the promised land. Boy, there's a sermon in that too. Look at what he says, verse 3. God says to Joshua, he says, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and as far as the great sea, that's the Mediterranean, toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Look at this, verse 5. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous and be careful to do, listen, be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Be careful to be a doer of the word. Be careful to do things the way that I have told you to do them. Don't try to figure it out for yourself. Don't try to scheme it out for yourself. Come to me and find out how to get things done. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession, he says. Verse 7, only be strong and courageous, be careful to do according to all the law. Again, he says in verse 7, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Sounds like Psalms 1, doesn't it? Sounds like Proverbs 4, doesn't it? Keep the word in front of you. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that if you meditate on it, here's the result. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now please hear the message that God is giving to Joshua. Joshua, I have a plan for your life. Here's what I want you to do, and this is how you're going to lead my children into the promised land. Do what I tell you, everything is going to be cool. I'm going to be with you just like I've been with Moses. Now, God's been with Moses for a number of years now, and Moses has seen some tremendous miracles as they went through the wilderness for 40 years. Moses has led these people, and awesome things have happened. God has done great miracles. They've seen great victories in battle. Tremendous things have happened. And God is encouraging Joshua by saying to him, just like I was with Moses, now I'm going to be with you. Can I say it to you this way? And this is where I started this morning. Let's don't see this as ancient history. Don't read this as ancient history. When God says, just as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Listen, guys, take it personally. Take it personally. David, just as God was with Moses, he's going to be with you. Stephanie, just as God is with Moses, he's going to be with you. Nate? Just as God was with Moses, he's going to be with you. He's going to be with us, guys. He's going to be with us. Now, here's the thing. Joshua had to be willing to do things God's way, okay? When he says, I'm going to be with you, it does not mean, Joshua, go out and make yourself a plan for your life, and then whatever you decide, bring it to me and I'll bless it. No, that's not what he said. That's not what he meant. He says, just as I've been with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And Moses came to God for everything that he needed and the wisdom that he needed and the strength that he needed to lead the people. And that's what Joshua had to do to have the blessing of the Lord on his life. Again, instead of coming up with our own plan and bringing it to God to ask him to bless it, if we'll come to God for the plan, we'll find something that already has his blessing on it. And then when we walk in it, we'll already be blessed. And this is what God is wanting for Joshua. And this is what God is wanting for you and I today. For us to order our lives according to the word and will of God. And let God have his way in our lives so that God can bless us. God can prosper us. Look, he says here in this passage of scripture, he says, I'll be with you. Does that mean everything Joshua did was blessed? No. Because Joshua didn't always do what God told him to do. We all know the story of Joshua and the city of Jericho. Remember that story? Jericho is a fortified city with a great wall around it. And he says to Joshua, he says, take the armies of Israel, march around it once each day for 7 days, march the seventh day 7 times in, give a shout. This is the craziest battle strategy you would ever get. No soldier would ever want to do this. Who would follow a commander and do this kind of thing? This is nonsense. And yet when they do it God's way, the wall of the city falls and they go in and take Jericho and it's a great victory for Israel. They come to the next city. They've just seen a great miracle, a great display of God's power. They've done things. They've done God's will, God's way. They got the victory. They come to the next city. It's a small little town, about like Rustburg. Just a few people there. Not a lot. To pick on Barry over here. It's just a small town. So what does Joshua do? Does he go to God to get a battle plan? No, he doesn't. Joshua looks at the city. He said, we took Jericho, the great fortified city. We conquered it. This little town, an afternoon's work. We'll just send a few people down there and take over it. So he sent a few people down there. And they came back a defeated army. Why? Because Joshua didn't seek the way of the Lord first. He planned out a strategy for himself, expecting it to be blessed. That's not the way it works in the kingdom of God, brother and sister. We go to God first. We find out God's plan first. When we do God's will, God's way, then it will be blessed. That's how you take a Jericho. It's also how you lose to a city called Ai. Okay? So we live with God. We walk with the Lord. Look at John. I'm running out of time here real quickly. Look at John chapter 8 with me. My message to you today is make a New Year's resolution that's this. Let's make the Word of God the priority of our life. Let's make the Word of God a priority of our life. In the way that we live our lives. In the way that we treat our spouses. In the way that we treat our neighbors. What does the Bible say about that? In the way that we handle our money. In the way that we do our jobs. What does the Bible say about that? We're going to find out what God says about these things and then do them God's way. Because that's where the victory is. That's where the success is. Jesus is speaking here in John chapter 8. And he says to the Jews in verse 31 who had believed in him, if you continue in my word. Doesn't that sound like Joshua? Doesn't that sound like Psalms? Continue in the word day and night. Meditate the word day and night. Jesus is saying the same thing. Jesus is saying, make my word your priority for life. Continue in my word. Then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Brother and sister, a lot of us are not experiencing freedom. We're not living in victory because we're not walking in the truth of the Word of God. We're still plotting. We're still scheming. We're still planning. We're still listening to the world and doing it the world's way. And we're not doing things God's way. And as a result of that, our problems are just compounding. Yeah, it looks like we fixed one for today. But what's going to be the result of that fix tomorrow? Are you just making the problem bigger? Are you just, as they say, kicking the can down the road? Or are you really fixing the problems in your life? When we choose to do things God's way, that's how the problems get fixed. Let me share with you just real quickly a couple of things that will happen when we make the Word of God the priority in our life. First of all, we come to the knowledge of God. We come to the knowledge of right and wrong. We come to the knowledge of truth because God's word is truth. And as we read and study the word of God, our minds begin to change. Instead of planning and plotting and scheming, now we begin to think, what does God think about this? How would God want me to handle this situation? What would be the godly way to do this? And let me just tell you right now, the godly way to deal with things is probably going to be the hard way. In fact, that's probably why we do things the world's way, because the world's way usually looks like the easy way. The problem with that is it's not only easy, it's deadly. It kills. But when we choose to do things God's way, yeah, it'll often be the hard way. I shared with you a while back about going to the hospital and getting out of the car and the wind jerked the door out of my hand and it banged up against the car next to me. And my immediate thought was, anybody see that happen? Because what I wanted to do was just shut the door and drive off. That's the world's way of dealing with things. That's not the way of honesty. That's not the way of integrity. That's not the way of God. The way of God is to contact the person. Let them know what's happened. And then when he calls and said, he said, well, I can't see anything wrong with my car. If I find anything, I'll let you know. Bye. That was the last I ever heard from him. But look, my conscience was clear because I made the choice to do the right thing and let that person know that I'd done something to his car. It was over. See? We must choose to do things God's way. When we choose to do things God's way, we find the place of peace. We find the place of freedom. When we continue in the Word, we'll know right from wrong. We'll know truth from error. We'll know what we're supposed to do. And when we do what's right, we'll walk in God's blessing. Second thing, by the way, and just a little side benefit of studying the Bible, I want you to hear this. Studying the Scriptures will make your heart more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, you and I have the Holy Spirit. You and I who believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. And God wants to direct our lives by that inward guidance system, that person, the Holy Spirit. He'll speak to us. He'll tell us which way to go, what to do, right to left, right from wrong, all of these kinds of things. The Lord will lead us by the Spirit. But we have to train ourselves to hear that voice. And just like training yourself to hear anybody's voice, the way you train yourself to hear the voice of God is you listen to it over and over and over and over again. Well, you and I have the fortune of having a book called the Bible, which is the voice of God. The Bible is the Word of God. It's the voice of God. And so when we study the Bible, we are training ourselves how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And as we read and study Scriptures, we'll become more and more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. So when He whispers in our ear, "This is the way, walk in it," we'll know the voice and we'll know what to do. And then, and my time is about gone, but let me just finish with this. Third thing that we'll accomplish when we make the Word of God our priority and we read and study and meditate Scripture to find out and to learn the ways of the Lord, the third thing that will happen in our lives is that faith will come. Faith will come. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And the more time we spend in the Scriptures, the more opportunities God has to speak to us out of His Word to increase our faith. See, the Bible is food for our soul and spirit. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 4:4. Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." What's he saying? He's saying it's not enough just to take care of your spiritual person or your physical person. You need to also take care of your spiritual person. It's not enough just to eat natural bread. You need to eat some spiritual bread and feed your spiritual man so that he can grow strong and healthy too. A lot of us are into the health thing where our physical bodies are concerned, but how many of us are really into the health thing where our spiritual bodies are concerned? In fact, I think we're fasting the wrong man. We spend a lot of time fasting our spiritual man and denying him spiritual food while we feed this physical man. We ought to be doing the other way around. We ought to be fasting this natural man and feeding our spiritual man every opportunity that we can. On the Word of God. Because, listen, the Word of God is spiritual food for our heart and soul and increases our spiritual strength, which we call faith. Which we call faith. And it comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we feed ourselves the Word of God, we grow strong spiritually. Faith grows within us, and John tells us faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith opens the door for victory and blessing in our lives. Let me share just one last passage, and I've got to be done here. From Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. This is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has been teaching for 3 or 4 chapters. By this time, and we get to the end of his sermon in Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus says this. I want you to listen. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine," hearing the Word of God, "everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them." So again, it's not enough just to hear the Word of God. We've got to make the Word of God a part of who we are so that we become doers of the Word of God. And Jesus says the person who hears and becomes a doer of the word, watch what he says, watch the blessing that comes. He says, "This man who hears and does the word may be compared to a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. When you and I establish our lives on the rock of the Word of God, our lives will stand any test, any storm that life brings against it. We'll be strong. We'll be able to stand. We'll be able to endure. We'll be able to overcome. Verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them. I want you to notice this is the only difference between the two people in the story. Okay? The only difference between the two people in the story. Both of them hear the word. Both of them are confronted with storms. One of them is the doer of the word. One of them is not. That's the only difference. And look at the consequences. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them, is not a doer of the word, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When we hear the word of God, but we don't let it take root in our life, and we don't let it become who we are, and we don't base our lives on the teachings of Scripture, our lives are shaky at best and subject to fall in the tests and trials of life. But when we make the word of God the foundation, we order our lives according to what God says, not what people think, not even what we think, but what God says, then our faith is strong, our life is secure. And when the storms come, and oh, by the way, please notice, he did not say, if you will order your life according to my word, if you'll listen and do what I say, you'll never have any storms. Oh, he didn't say that, did he? Storms are coming, brother. Storms are coming. He says, here's how you prepare for the storm. Be a doer of the word. Order your life according to the way I tell you to live it. And if you'll do things my way, when the storms of life come, you will stand firm and conquer and be victorious in the midst of them. Brother and sister, 2018 can be the best life we have ever had if we will order our life according to the Word of God. Read the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures. People are always saying, when I talk about that, people are always saying, well, I just don't know where to start in the Bible. I just don't know how to go about reading the Bible. You know, the neat thing about the Bible is it's this. It's not a novel. It's 66 books. You don't have to open the Bible at page 1 and read to page 1500 or whatever it is in your Bible. You don't have to just read it through that way. You can. And that's wonderful if you can do that. The important thing is that you're reading something in the Word of God, but it's 66 different books, and you can start with any of them. And you can read and let God teach you out of those books. I encourage people, particularly new Christians, I encourage them to read maybe the Gospel of John to learn about the life of Jesus. I especially encourage them to read the short epistles of Paul, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, these short epistles, John's epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Hey, look, 2nd, 3rd John is just a chapter. You can read a whole book in 15 minutes. Whole book of the Bible. James, 5 books. Brilliant wisdom in the book of James. All short books you can read. Just a very short period of time. Just getting into the Word. And listen, don't read it against the clock. Don't read it against the clock. But rather, read the Bible in communion with the Holy Spirit. It's not about getting through the Bible. It's getting something out of the Bible. That's why we're reading it, okay? And the neat thing is that the Scriptures themselves declare that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. All Scriptures inspired by God. God breathed. Spirit inspired. Paul said that holy men of old were moved on by God to write the Scriptures. The author of the book is the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that lives in you. And when we open the Bible to read it, we have the privilege of sitting down with the author to read what he wrote. And so that's how we should approach the Bible. And we should ask, Lord, show me something out of what I read today that I can apply to my life that will make a difference. Show me something as I read the Bible today, Lord. Teach me something that I can apply to change my life. You know what you can do? You can take the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is 31 chapters. Just Just take the book of Proverbs. For the next 6 months, just read a chapter of Proverbs each day. Yeah, I realize there's only 28 days in February, 30 in some other months. You won't get to chapter 31 every time you read through. But you know what? After 6 months, you will have read chapters 1 through 30 at least 28 times. And you will read chapter 31 at least 3 or 4 times if you do it over the next 6 months. And the thing about the book of Proverbs is one chapter at a time. It's all you need to read. Because again, it's not a novel. It's nuggets of wisdom from God. Truth upon truth upon truth. And sometimes you can just read a couple of verses from the book of Proverbs and make a day of it.
Make a life out of it.
I'm just saying, guys, the important thing is to get into the Word of God. See what God teaches us. See how God wants us to live this life. And make the quality decision before God. Lord, I want to live the life you have destined me to live. You have created me to live. And I'm going to study your Word, God, so that I can learn how to live it. And I'm trusting you, God, to show me the right way. And as you teach me, Father, I ask you to change me and help me to become the person that you've destined me to become. I promise you, if you'll make the decision to put the Word first place and make it the priority of your life, 2018 will be the best life you have ever had. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to encourage this little church family once again in the things of the Lord. And I thank you that you do have a special plan for every one of us. And as we study the scriptures and learn your ways, we learn to do things right and we learn to turn away from evil. I thank you, Father, that our hearts will become sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit so that we can know exactly the specific things you have for us to do in the days and weeks and years to come. Speak to us through the words of Scripture as we study, and speak to us by your Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Lead us in the way everlasting. Thank you for the victories that await us when we live our life for your glory. Thank you for your goodness to us today, Father. For your faithfulness to watch over us, to meet our needs and to bless us and to guide us. We love you today, God. We thank you that it's only possible because you first loved us and you've come to us. I pray today, Father, for all of these precious people with us here today. Lord, I pray if there's any here today that have never opened their heart to Christ, never admitted their need for a Savior, never confessed their sins, I pray, Lord, today would be their day to give their heart and life to you, to ask Jesus to forgive them and to save them. I know, Father, you'll do what you've promised to do. Those who make that good confession today will become children of God, and I thank you for that. Lead each one of us, Father. Give us hope. Fulfill our destiny. Glorify yourself. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Let's stand together. Let's stay in an attitude of prayer together. Just a moment. You, Lord. Bless you, Father. as we're in an attitude of prayer together and each of us taking our needs and our hearts before the Lord today. I just encourage you once again to make the decision to live the surrendered life, to let God have control. Our way usually just compounds problems. God's way always fixes, always restores, always makes new. Let's consider our hearts as we go into the new year. And let's make that quality decision, Lord, your way this year. Thank you, Father. God, I thank you again for the privilege of sharing the word of the Lord with these precious people here today. I pray that somehow you have taken something from this message and spoken a word of truth to every heart. That each one of us here today, Father, has found something that we can apply to our lives that will make a difference and make our future better than our past. Thank you for the victory that's ours through Christ our Lord. The promise of such that you give to each of us when we live the surrendered life. And so I pray your blessing of peace, of joy, of wisdom, of strength over each one of these precious people today. May they know your mercy. May they experience your grace. And may your will be done in each of our lives in earth as it is in heaven. And we praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing together and we'll be dismissed this morning. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day. Till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Happy New Year to all of you. See you next year.